Well, man, I got a message for me today. I'm just telling you, if Ralph was here, he's going to say, I already don't like it. I've been working on this message for about 2 to 3 weeks. I don't like it, but I got to have it. You may not like it, but you got to have it. Amen. So I want to start with today's title of What Defiles Us. What defiles us? It's a big deal. So what is defile? Defile means to make unclean or impure. That's what the word defile means. To make unclean or impure. In James chapter 3, verse 6, it's not my key text by any means, but I want to bring something out. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's a lot. We can stop there. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. That's what the Bible says about your sweet little old tongue. It says, if not taken and controlled, your tongue is from hell. I'm here to tell you today that I've had a whole lot more hell come out of my mouth than heaven. Really, preacher? Yeah, you're the preacher. I'm just an honest one. According to this scripture, this tongue is unruly. According to scripture, you don't even control your tongue. Matter of fact, according to scripture, it says no man can tame the tongue. So if you think you got your tongue under control, you're just deceiving yourself. So I've got a lot of other things to do, but I won't be deceived. Amen. So our key text today is from Matthew chapter 15, which is going to go along with all of this. 15 verse 1. I want to read several scriptures today, probably more than I normally read for a text. And so, but I want you to get the picture. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, they were always trying to get Jesus in a corner. They were always trying to back him into a lie, tell him how to make yourself contradict one statement to the other. And that's kind of what's happening right here. And it says here in Matthew 15, 1, says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress against the tradition of elders? Now you need to understand what they're comparing. They're comparing a tradition, number one. It says, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. Now see, the Pharisees were wanting to corner God on the disciples transgressing a man-made commandment. And God says, well, why do you transgress a commandment of God? There is a big difference. What you think to be true may not be true. What you think to be okay when it comes out of your mouth might not be okay. Just because you know it, just because it may be true, don't mean you need to say it. God says, wait a minute, you're talking about that my disciples transgress a tradition of man, but I'm saying you are transgressing a commandment of God. A little different ball game. Not even playing on the same field. Matter of fact, you're not even in the same stadium. Okay? Bible goes on to say this, and he, in verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Boy, a bunch of dead folks in this place. That's all I can say right now. If we had to go by this, we all dead, okay? I thought I was going to die one time when I backtalked my daddy, and I realized a few minutes later when I come back around my senses that, you know, I was close to death. He almost put me to death. He didn't need God. He did it himself. Hey, man, need that some more, I think. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me move on. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God. But you say, whoever says to his, in verse 6, then you need not to honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. What he was saying there is that the Pharisees were saying, as long as you do it for God, you don't really have to, if you were going to take care of your mother and your father and later on, as long as that money's going to God, you're okay. Well, here's the problem. The people receiving the money was the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. As long as you give it to us, you're okay. You don't have to really do the commandment of God. And God says, wait a minute, that's a transgression. I never said that. God said, I never said because you give that you are unhitched from the law, from the commandment of God. He says, but that's what you say. See, you're making up stuff as you go. I'm talking about defilement. I'm going to get deeper in a minute. But I'm talking about what defiles you? Your tongue. He goes on to say this in verse 7. It's what God says. It's what Jesus says. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people, watch me, these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, they knew what to say. They knew when to say it, and they knew how to say it. But it was only lip service. It wasn't from the heart. And Jesus said, there was a prophecy about you. There was prophesy about people that would draw and say the right things, do the right things, or say and do all the things necessary to appear to be godly but weren't godly. You know, you can come to church and appear to be godly, and you can give tithes and appear to be godly, and you can serve in the church and appear to be godly. But if your tongue is unruly, if it's out of whack, it's vanity. Because verse 9 says this, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of commandments of men. Verse 10, and when he had called out to the multitude himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man to make impure. This is what comes out of it. Then his disciples said to him in verse 12, or then he said to his disciples, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Excuse me, the disciples said that to him. I'll get it right in a minute. The disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? You know, Jesus didn't really care whether you got offended or not. Can I tell you this? He doesn't really care if you're offended now at his word. Because see, he didn't offend you. It's your desire to do opposite of his word that really causes the offense. It's not his word. It's your desire to go opposite of God's word. That's when the offense comes, because there's something always says, well, that ain't right. A Pharisee and a Sadducee and a scribe. Well, you don't have to do it that way. You can do it our way and you'll be okay. Just give me another little bit more money. You know, I love Westerns. I was watching a Western once, The Magnificent Seven, Denzel Washington. Man, it's good. But in the beginning of the show, they're having this shootout, if you will. This one guy has a knife that he throws, and they're going to have this shoot 'em up, bang it out. Well, there's betting going on that one's going to win, one's not going to win. You know how that betting goes. And so there's this guy standing around the edge. He's betting that the guy with the gun's going to kill the guy with the knife, going to outshoot him. Well, it didn't happen that way, and the guy with the knife throws the knife, kills the guy. Okay. They come around collecting the money. He says, here. He says, I ain't paying. Guy says, I ain't paying. He says, oh, yeah, you're going to pay. Little did he know that the guy collecting the money was a well-known gunfighter. And when the guy was mouthing off, saying, I'm not going to do it. He looks and says, the guy calls his name, Goodnight Robichaud. He says, oh, I didn't know it was you. He said, that's all right. Just pay me double. The guy says, yeah. See, that's the way we treat God sometimes. Well, I don't like it that way. And somebody comes up, well, just pay me a little more and you'll be okay. It's all right. You just do a little bit more and you're okay. That doesn't make it okay. It's against God. It's against the commandment of God. It says in verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. What Jesus is saying. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. I could preach here a while too. You need to know who's leading you. You know, if someone's leading you that don't have real knowledge of Scripture, they probably ought not lead you. If the person you're getting spiritual advice from doesn't really, they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, probably not the person you want to get spiritual advice from. Okay? I've got a few things that I feel like I'm pretty good at life, and there's some things you don't want to ask me. If you're having brain surgery, I'm not the guy. If you're having technical problems, I'm not the guy. Amen? You want to work on something, I'm probably your guy. So you got to know who you're getting your advice from. That's just a side note. That's another message. Don't let blind people lead you. They're blind. My buddy, he did laughing. Brian says, yeah. It's hard for him to lead you around, is it not, Bryce? Is that right? He says, we're going to go to a new place, huh? Thank God for Slade. His mom and dad, they lead him, show him new places, and then he can get around. Y'all watch, don't be confused now. Look, he'd get out of this place right now. You holler fire, and he's first one out waiting on y'all to show up. Amen? Come on now. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And Jesus is like, dude, Peter, I knew you were slow. But come on, dude. He says, are you also still without understanding? We would say it something like this. Are you that dumb? Are you that slow? Come on, man. How many times I got to explain this? Says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Y'all get the picture. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, watch this, they come from the heart and they defile a man. See, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can tell me how holy you are, how good you are, how much you love God, but out of the abundance of your heart, this thing starts to rattle. And that's why I've told you many times, I can talk to somebody about 5 minutes and tell you where you are. It's not because I have some spiritual insight. I know what the Bible says. Because whatever comes out of here is what's in here. It's not hard. Whew. Quiet today, Billy. Quiet. Yeah. Verse 19. For out of the heart, this is what comes out of your heart, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness. That's lying. And blasphemies? These are the things which defile a man, if you were unclear. These things, they defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. What he's saying is, you got to realize
where we're at in the new church here too as well. You got to realize we're in Matthew, and so everybody was used to doing everything by the law. You had a certain way. If you could keep the law, then you were made righteous. And he's also, not only is he saying, he's not talking about really about washed hands. He's refuting the law. Should you wash your hands? It's not a law today, but I like for you to wash your hands if you're going to be feeding me something. Come on, somebody. Amen. Y'all know how I feel about that when we have potlucks around here. Amen. I need you to be clean. I need your hands to be clean. I need your dishes to be clean. I need everything, because what's off your hands going in my mouth. But here's what I need, what I want you to know. It doesn't matter how dirty your hands have been, how dirty your heart has been, how dirty your spirit has been. Here's what I know. When the blood of Jesus is applied to your life, you're cleansed. You're washed. You're holy. And from that point, there's this thing called sanctification. It's a process of you changing in and morphing into something that God has called you to be. I wish it would be just like that. That would be so cool. It's not. In Psalms 141, verse 3. Honey, will you come to the piano and get your worship team? Will the worship team come? I know you're freaking out because last week it was a little long. This week is just what it is. Psalms 141, verse 3 says this. Watch me. I want you to listen to me. Don't pay attention to them. They're going to get up. You've already heard them once. I want you to pay attention to me, not because of me, because I'm fixing to give you some really good nuggets that, if applied to your life, will keep this thing from being undefiled. Watch this. This is what the psalmist David said, and this is a psalm of David, not just one of the other writers of psalms, because David didn't write all the psalms. You know King David, right? That guy that God said, he's a man after my own heart. That guy. This is what he says. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard. Some of you need to replace some of your gossiping friends with people who don't gossip. Some of you need to replace some of them lying friends with some of them friends that don't lie. So they can be a guard and say, is that true? Is that right? Should you be saying that? Well, give me a little bit more money and we'll let it slide. You do this for me and I'm okay with you defiling yourself. I'm not okay with you defiling yourself. God's not okay with you defiling yourself with your tongue. Well, I'm preaching to all of us this morning. I had a mirror up when I first started the message. Preaching to me. I got to thinking about stuff we say and how we say it, how many times we said it, we know it wasn't true. Or stuff we said that was true, we shouldn't have said it. We said it anyway. You know, that still defiles you, right? I said it earlier, just because you know it to be true don't mean you got to say it. There's no proverb that says a smart man knows what to say. A wise man knows whether to say it or not. All I can say is I ain't been very wise. I've got this sneaky suspicion that we ain't got a lot of wise people in the house. It feels good to talk about somebody, especially when it ain't us. Especially when you're down in the mully grubs, it makes you feel good that somebody's worse off than you. You feel like you've accomplished something. No, you're still in the same pit you was. You're still right in the low pit. They're not any lower than you are. You have defiled yourself by your tongue. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 12, 36 says it this way. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. good Lord. Did you hear what I said? Every idle word, that stuff don't mean nothing. That stuff that tears people down, that lie, that false witness, that conversation that you wanted to get in on, this just sends me over the roof. People want got to interject because they think they know more than you. They got to be heard. You know those people? They just got to say something because they think they got something that you don't know. You know what that is? That's idle words. They want to get in the conversation that they hadn't been invited in because they know more than you about that conversation. Well, I heard. It's an indication that there's some good gossip about to happen. If the conversation starts with, well, I heard. Here's another pretty good lie, too, that most people start with. I know for a fact. I was there. Well, then you are worse than I am because you're there. You know it. You shouldn't have said it. I got this good friend of mine. Several years we was talking about gossip. This guy sitting here in the front row, and we was talking about gossip one day. Yeah, you know how to stop gossip? His response was, don't participate. Think about that. Okay. Nobody wants to tell you gossip if they don't think you're interested. Come on, somebody, think about that. If you know that nobody's interested in your defilement, they don't want to listen to you. You want to go to that person that says, yes. Man, I didn't know that. Woo. That's some good juice right there. Boy, I can run with this. Put it on Facebook. Glory to God, it's got to be true. It's on Facebook. Facebook's kind of cool. People put your junk on Facebook, you ought to just, like, before you hit post, you really ought to read that defilement that's coming out of your mouth. You know, if somebody hurts you and they put it on Facebook, and you must have a rebuttal, you've just got to get out your stuff. You know what that does? That really creates more problems for other people because they get involved in that. And I wonder what went on. I wonder what went on. You don't know how many times that person, I wonder what happened there. I didn't know that. Let me call somebody. Hey, what happened? What's going on? Well, this is what I heard. See, your defilement spreads like wildfires. What the Bible says, that tongue is like a fire, and it spreads. As long as there's fuel, fire will burn, fuel and oxygen. And if you're breathing, you got oxygen. Come on, somebody. And as long as that tongue likes it, boy, you got some fuel. And it'll just jump from one to the other. You know what I heard? Boy, I hope this ain't true. This is what I heard. Come, are you serious? Hope it ain't true. Let me just have you give you a little thought here. Maybe, just maybe, you should pray for them. Maybe you should take that to the Lord. Lord, I hope it ain't true, but I lift up my brother. I lift up my sister. I lift up my child. I lift up my pastor. I lift them up today to you, Lord, because you can change them. I can't. Woo! Praise the Lord. Preacher, you're preaching better than I thought you was going to today. Amen. Psalms 15, verse 1. Through three, how many of you think you're righteous? It's really not really the time to give this self-evaluation test here. Most people most times say, oh, yeah. I'm righteous because Jesus made me righteous. Okay, Pharisee, watch this. I just want to show you something. This is how you can, come on, what'd you say? There is, how many? None. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. Watch this.
Now, you're righteous in Christ if you come in him, but let me just throw something here at you. Psalms 15:1, another psalm of David, says this. Lord, he's talking to the Lord. You know why he's talking to the Lord? He wants to get closer to the Lord. And he says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And who may dwell in the holy hill? In other words, who can address you? Who can come close to you? Who can get close to you is the real question, okay? Because this is Old Testament terminology, but we're in the New Testament era, okay? And he's saying, Lord, who can get close to you? Who can do this, Lord? This is also a prophetic message of the New Testament to come. And he said, Lord, who can get close to you? We know the people in there that they're serving, that are sacrificing, and the priests. But Lord, who can get close to you? That's what the Lord responds. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Watch this. And he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. You want to get close to God? You want to know where God is? A lot of times, where is God? Well, you might want to have a full-length mirror in your house. Walk up to that and say, Lord, what's wrong with this? Because I can't get to you. Because sin doesn't get close to God. Come on. The only thing that happens with God and sin is that he forgives it with the blood. If you're just sinning and doing all, you can't get close to God. You might want to have a self-evaluation. I've had to take some of those self-evaluation tests, probably many of you as well, to know what personality you are, what type you are. Mine didn't turn out to be passive, I'm just going to tell you. More like the lion. Maybe we need to have a spiritual self-evaluation to say, Lord, why is it that I can't hear from you about this situation? Lord, why is it that I can't hear from you about my marriage? Lord, why is it that I can't hear about you from my relationship with you? Lord, why is it? What is it? Show it to me. You know, I believe the number one thing is my tongue. My tongue. Your tongue. I looked up this verse, put it on a couple times, erased it because I didn't like it that much. This next one, I just... Give me a couple more dollars and I won't say it. Sorry. Got the wrong preacher for that. It's not about your money here. It's about you getting to heaven. And more importantly, it's about when I get to heaven, one thing that won't happen. The Lord said, now you should have preached the whole thing. You shouldn't have worried about because so-and-so was doing this and so-and-so was doing that and this was happening in your church. A lot of times we don't have to worry about a lot of stuff happening in the church because you preach against it. They're uncomfortable. And they won't come back unless you get saved. And we want you to get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit. We want you to get all in. Watch this. James 1:26. If anyone, say anyone, now say this, say that's me. Among you. Thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one, religion is useless. Come on, Billy, say it louder. Father, forgive us. If you don't bridle this, if pastor don't bridle this, if you got to be in every conversation, in other words, you're not bridling this thing. The Bible says you deceive yourself.
number one. And number two, you just must not come to church. You must just give up, because it says your religion is useless. That's hardcore. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says about your tongue, my tongue. Now, I got a couple of horses. And I got a bunch of bits. You know why? Because some don't work on some. My grandbaby, Lexi, was riding one of our horses when we first got it, and I had just a bit. I asked the lady, well, what kind of bit? And, oh, just whatever. Well, that's a lie. It's not whatever kind of bit, because I use a whatever kind of bit. And I'm here to tell you that whatever kind of bit, that one size fits all, didn't fit this horse. Oh, it went in his mouth. But you couldn't control him. Papa, this horse is crazy. No, baby, let Papa get the right bit. What's that? That thing goes in his mouth. I tried another one. Didn't work. Tried another one. It was worse. But I tried that fourth one. And you just think about in your head that you want to stop. And that horse. Why? Because I got the right bit in the horse's mouth. And he obeys the simple, whoa. Maybe if we let God, come on now, put the right bit in your mouth and say, Lord, what do you want to do with me? And let him choose the right. It may not be comfortable, but it may be the best for you. Come on. It may hit a tender spot. Come on, somebody, because that's what makes a horse pay attention, a tender mouth. And it hits the right spot. Guess what? You'll pay attention too. Just maybe we should say, Holy Spirit, we've been in this crazy service today with our preacher that is just, he's just nuts. Wanting me to bridle my tongue. Well, where's my ministry gonna go if I quit my prayer gossip ministry? Probably gonna go to straight prayer ministry. Probably gonna go out through the roof. You might see people get healed, saved and delivered and set free. You might even see people set free from addictions. If you get rid of the defilement in your heart. See, it's in your heart. Did you hear what I said? It's in your heart. It comes out through the tongue. Because that horse, to finish my story, it's in him to run. It's in him to be a mover and a shaker. He's an old roping horse. It's in him. But I ain't using him for a roping horse. So I need to tone it back. Maybe God's got a plan for you that's already in you, and you need a different bit to bring it out of you. Just maybe it ain't what you thought it would be. Just maybe your life's been so messed up, jacked up, that you think, well, God cannot use me. That's exactly what the devil would love for you to think and live at right there. That's where he wants you to stay, right there. Well, that is untrue. Because if that's the case, I wouldn't be right here. If that's the case, many of you wouldn't be serving in ministry in this house. If that's the case, here's what I know. That your pastor is working on his tongue. Not because you've said anything, but because the Holy Spirit has said something. I just got to believe that we all have an issue
this. You know I love you. I love you almost as much as I love my grandbabies. I love my grandbabies. It's my little one. I don't know where Lexi is right now, but she'll tell you. She's back here. How much does Papa love you? To the moon and back again? See, I just love you to the moon and back. You know why she knows that? Because I tell her all the time. We didn't rehearse that. You know what? God loves you to the moon and back again, and back again, and back again, and back again, and back again. He loves you so much that he said, I will give up my son for them. Even when they're a heathen, even when they're doing wrong, I'll give up my son. I love him to the moon and back again, but I love you more. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, right where you are with every head bowed and every eye closed, you don't even have to stand up. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, if the blood of Jesus has not been applied to your life, why don't you accept him in your heart today? Why don't you get real with God? Why don't you say, God, I got my stuff. He says, I already know that. But I want to give my heart to you today. If that's you, I want you to come to the front. I want you to come. I want to pray with you. I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer with you. So, Pastor, I didn't know I was going to have to come to the front. I almost wanted to. Come to the front. Look, get right with God today. Get right with the one who can get you right. Get right with the one who can stop the defilement in your life. Let him put his righteousness on your unrighteousness. Get right with God today. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word that never, ever runs dry. Lord, help us to apply your word today. Lord, help me to apply your word to my life. Lord, I have enough pulling at me that wants to defile me. Lord, help me not to help it. Help me not to help those things defile me. Help me to work on my tongue, Lord, on what I say, how I say it, when I say it, where I say it, should I say it. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, everyone in this building appears to be saved today, and I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Now, as you're still sitting there and your head's bowed and eye closed, how many of you like me need to just stick up your hand if you need this? You need your tongue to be washed out with some spiritual soap. I see those hands, about 10 of you in here, honest. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you see the hands raised in this building. All across this building, there's hands raised and were raised, Lord, that need help with the tongue. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come right now. Right now, Lord. And Lord, just begin to wash our tongues. Lord, we release, Lord, the power of the tongue to you. Lord, you orchestrate it, you use it, you move it, you let it speak what you want it to speak, Lord. Lord, let us be a powerhouse for you. Let us be kingdom-minded, Lord. Lord, let us be with the attitude, God, if there's anything that keeps us from reaching the community, Lord, take it from us. Thank you, Lord.
helping us to get a hold of our unruly tongue. Thank you, Lord. Let us use it for your glory, not for defilement. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word today. I know your word's not going to go void, because that's what your word says. Thank God you never said anything about the delivery. He said it was your word that wouldn't go void. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. Miss Marsha, she made it back in yet. She may be in the back. Don't forget to get with her. So Miss Marsha is serving at this moment, and she asks that if you want to bring side dishes or desserts, is that casseroles, or do we need desserts as well? She didn't say. David, we need desserts. Amen. We can use them later. Glory. We'll use it for the glory of God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Sides, casseroles, desserts. Have them here. Look at 10:30. Hey, Hey, just real quick, we're going to pray for Grandchen. I know she's easing out. David, get right there, put your hand on. Some of y'all put your hand on Donnie. Let's pray for her real quick. We're going to pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for strength. Lord, we pray for encouragement today. Lord, we pray you would lift up Grandchen, Lord. Lord, we lift her up today. Lord, she's released a daughter into the hands of the King. Lord, into the eternities of heaven. But Lord, we hurt here today, God. We grieve in our spirit today, God. So we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would undergird her and Bobby and the grandchildren and the children, Lord. We pray that you would just surround them with your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, let them know that this is not the end. Lord, this is simply a bus stop on the way to heaven. Lord, this is not the end of life. It's the beginning, Lord, of eternity with you, Father. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we praise you. And we glorify your name in this house today, God. Lord, we lift you up today. Lord, we pray you'd just minister to Grandchen today and the Miller family. In the name of Jesus, and our whole church says, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What faith. I just want to be able to come to church at 102 if I'm still here. And I sure hope I got enough ump about me if I lose someone to come on to church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me bless you as we leave. Father, we ask that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man. That job promotions, prosperity, increase, and raises would come our way. And Lord, that peace would blanket every rooftop. So then when we lay down today, this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.